Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can celebrate this morning an event in your word, an event that occurred at this time of year, an event that occurred exactly as your word predicted. And as we look at the exactness, the precision of your word, may we realize your word is reliable. We can trust you. As you have promised and fulfilled your word in the past, so shall you do into the future. We can be sure that what you say will happen. And so, Lord, you've said, be not deceived. You, O God, are not mocked. Whatever we sow, we will reap. And those who sow to the flesh will reap corruption. But those who sow to the Spirit will reap life everlasting. We pray that you'd open our hearts to your word to our hearts, and our wills to respond, to trust you more, to believe in you alone, and to live our lives upon your reliable word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you're seated, this morning we've remembered one of the greatest days in history. Palm Sunday of Jesus Christ riding into Jerusalem is Jesus Christ presenting himself publicly as the Passover lamb. Now, for those of you that have heard this many times, I'll say it again, but every time I say it, it sinks into someone's mind. Palm Sunday exactly follows the 1,476-year tradition of the Jews. And what's that? Passover. On the 10th day of the month of Nisan, there was a selection and a receiving of a little lamb into the household of every home in Israel. And they've been doing this ever since Egypt. And they would go out and select a lamb and bring it in to their family for 4 days. And they would select that lamb on the 10th, and on the 14th day of the month, they would offer that lamb as a sacrifice, as a sacrifice for the sins of their family in remembrance of the Exodus deliverance, the Passover of God's wrath. So that's Passover. And the selection of the lamb was always on the 10th day, and the offering of it was on the 14th day. So this is the 10th day of that month in the life of Christ, of Passover week. And Jesus Christ himself, who already has been pointed to by the Apostle John as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world at the beginning of his ministry, now, exactly on the day that God's word promised he would come, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, said he would come exactly on this day. He comes. And he moves into Jerusalem, into their hearts, as the offered Lamb of God. And he stays near Jerusalem the whole time of these days. And he stays there as their Passover Lamb of God. And so that's why this is one of the greatest days in history. And Jesus, the Passover Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world, is a day that we remember the exactness of God's prophecy. And I just want to show you that in many passages this morning, because what God's word says will happen in the future will happen just as surely as it has in the past. Now, what's amazing is most people don't have any trouble with saying, Jesus did just what he said. He was born in a stable, you know, in Bethlehem, just like the Bible says. Yeah, that's great. But they don't think he's going to do what he said he'd do in the future. There's kind of a disconnect there. This morning, riding over, Bonnie was talking with Elizabeth and going over with her, you know, you have to, you know, all the Sunday school teachers are going to say, what day is today? And you don't want the kids to say, I don't know. You know, you have to work with them, right? And so she said, it's Palm Sunday. Elizabeth said, And Bonnie said, this is exactly the day that Jesus came in to Jerusalem. And she said, And all of a sudden, as Bonnie explained it, she said, those people really lived here on earth, and they really, these events really happened. And she said, Bonnie said, a light bulb came on in Elizabeth's mind. She said, you mean those people in the Bible were really here? She said, well, not in Tulsa, over in the Holy Land. But she said, really here? Walking around? She said, yes. Well, I hope that light bulb comes on in your mind that Jesus really came just like the Bible says, exactly like it promised in his word. And what God's word says will happen in the future will happen as clearly as it has in the past. And every prophecy God fulfilled in the Bible always happened literally. Isn't that amazing? There aren't figurative fulfillments. Jesus literally rode in, like the Bible said, on a donkey on this day, presenting himself. Well, Palm Sunday is a day in the life of Christ that mirrors literally scores of prophecies that God made in the Bible that are fulfilled with pinpoint accuracy. Every time I say that, I always think about the Gulf War. One, and that was the first time, you know, about whatever that was, 14 years ago, Gulf War One, that they used pinpoint satellite-guided bombs. And did you know, after the dust cleared and they analyzed all the stuff, they found out that our pinpoint accuracy bombs weren't that accurate. You know, a lot of them, for whatever reason, veered off and didn't hit what they intended. That's not how it is with God. He doesn't consider within 3 miles to be pinpoint. He says it will happen just as I say. Okay, as we've seen in all the other scriptures, we should remind ourselves how unique and how powerful is our God, because He keeps His word. It says in the Old Testament, God watches over His word to fulfill it. It's not like He just threw it out there and it's going to happen. God is actually orchestrating it to cause it to happen. And that should give us comfort, because it says God is working all things together. Just like in the baby dedication this morning. God has worked together. All of these, He has put a certain child into each home. He has chosen you as the parents. It wasn't an accident on either part. It was God's choice to blend together those parents and those children. And then God has written out exactly what His word He's watching over to fulfill. And if we get in sequence with that, we have great peace. And so with our lives, we should remember that God is going to fulfill His word. Well, let's begin. There are 33 prophecies that were fulfilled on one single day. And I don't know if we're going to get through all of them, but let's start. Because the strongest evidence of divine inspiration of the Bible is that we have prophecy. And what I want you to do is I want you to start in Matthew 27 with me. Turn over to Matthew 27. I want to show you, and we're going to look at many, but we're going to be all over the book of Matthew. I want to show you the prophetic exactness of Jesus Christ's entire final days of His earthly life. We call it His Passion Week, Pasco, His suffering, His suffering passion for us. And not only was the exactness of Palm Sunday's entry, but the exactness of the Passover plot that Judas cooked up with the priests and the delivering of Christ and all the events that happened. Everything that happens in that last 72 hours and the last 48 hours and finally the last 24 hours, all of that is exactly fulfilled from the Old Testament scripture. Matthew 27, and it says this, look at verse 3. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back to him 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest, saying, I have sinned in betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? Verse 5, he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. You all know that. Right? Keep going on down to verse 7. And they consulted together and bought with it the potter's field. You remember that one little detail of Christ's final week as Judas betrayed him and then he goes out and commits suicide? Well, while you're looking at those verses, let me read to you what Zechariah said. I'm going to turn back to Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. You don't have to turn there. You just stay in Matthew. I'm going to do this all morning. I'm going to show you. You stay in Matthew, and I'll show you what the other verses say. This is what it says in Zechariah 11, verses 12 and 13. Then I said to them, it is an agreeable for you. Give me my wages, if not refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. Now you say, oh, could be any 30 pieces. Now listen to verse 13. And the Lord said, throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. All of a sudden, Zechariah says this event is talking about the Lord. The Lord said the price they set on me. When was God ever sold for 30 pieces of silver at this time? Because Zechariah says, and I continue with verse 13, so I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. God's word, 600 years before the event, predicted that God would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. The 30 pieces of silver would be thrown and purchase a potter's field. Look what you have in Matthew 27 right before your eyes. Verse 5, they threw down the pieces of silver, Judas did. And verse 7, the priest consulted and bought the potter's field. Verse 9, then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. By who? Jeremiah? I thought you were reading from Zechariah. Well, what's interesting is that the Old Testament is divided into three pieces. And when it's the first piece, they say Moses said it. That's the law. Then the second part is the writings. And the third piece is called the prophets. And the major prophets start that. And so they would say that that last third was Jeremiah speaking in just the vernacular of the Jewish people. So this is not a mistake. It wasn't that Matthew had a lapse and he thought that Jeremiah had said that. He knew it was Zechariah. He was referring to it as the Jews did, that third part started with the book of Jeremiah. But don't miss the part of what you're holding. Verse 7 of 27 and verse 5.